Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
I like this song. Through it all, my eyes are on you, Lord. Hallelujah. You know, a friend of mine used to always say to me, they always look at me and said, Brother Henry, the journey validates the arrival. It's what you go through is where God trains you. It's what He makes a man or a woman of God. And that's really cool. Amen. You can be sit down. Yeah, go ahead. Yes. God is training us, leading us, guiding us to be men and women of God. How do you know that? Amen. Praise God. Hey, I mean, did I say amen? Amen. Amen. Praise God. God is desiring. Hallelujah. That we be who He's called us to be. Is that okay? You know, how many know we're Christians? How many know that? Yeah, anybody? A few of you know. Come on. Raise your hand if you know you're a Christian. Amen. Raise your hand if you know Jesus died for you, man. Hallelujah. Raise your hand if you know that you've been bought with a price. The precious blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You've been bought. You've been paid for. Hallelujah. And you're not your own. How many of you know that? Oh, come on, man. You're not your own. You belong to Him. Hallelujah. Isn't it nice to belong to something? Yeah, we belong to something. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, you belong to something. You belong to Him. Tell them that. Yeah. Tell you belong to Him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, worship team. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Couple of things. Hey, how many of you seen the board back here with the prayer requests and the prayer and the victory reports? There's a wall right back here. You got a prayer request? Please pin a request on there. We will be praying. Pastor John is gonna. Yeah, we're gonna pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Pastor John's looking at me. I'm gonna what? What am I gonna do? praise God. So check that out and put some prayer requests up there. And whatever's ailing you, whatever, it doesn't matter. Whatever you know you're concerned about, put them on that thing and let us pray with you. Amen. Come on. Hallelujah. The Bible says for us to bear one another's burdens. Is that right? And folks, we want to bear your burden. We want to help you. Hallelujah. As you walk towards God, man. Praise God. Hallelujah. Another thing. Hey, come to my house. Is that okay? I'm hoping to see all of you there. Even more. Bring your friends. Amen. Come on. We're going to have a good time. Church picnic. Amen. Amen. And bonfire. We're talking about bonfire. I was telling my wife it's 10 to 10. I'm just kidding. Starts at 10 o'clock, and we are planning to have a bonfire. So I think that'll be a lot of fun. Hallelujah. Good fellowship. Amen. How many know it's important to fellowship? It's important to be around God's people. How many know that? Is that right? Just so they can strengthen you and help you, and you can strengthen them and help them. Is that all right? Praise God. God called us to minister to one another. Is that right? Minister. Help each other. Hallelujah. Sometimes the road can get hard. Is that right? It can get hard. And sometimes somebody needs to come alongside of you and hold you up. Amen. Then the Holy Spirit, He does that. He's called the Comforter. He comes along and He holds you up and helps you out. Shares God's word with you. Amen. Oh, man. I'm going to tell you, it is great being a Christian in 2018. Amen. Hallelujah. God's doing some things. Things are changing. The complexion of the body of Christ, I believe, is getting brighter. How many know what I'm talking about? The light of God is beginning to shine more and more upon the body of Christ. And I believe the world's going to see. They're going to say, hey, man, you know what? There must be something to this Jesus thing. Amen. Praise God. Because I'll tell you, there's something to this Jesus thing. Is that right? Everybody get up and say this. No, I'm just kidding. There's something to this Jesus. There's something about Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, I love Jesus. Do you love Jesus? He loves you. Oh, my goodness. Ooh, I don't even know what I'm going to preach about now because I'm going to tell you something. God is good. He's so good. He is good. God is good. Good. So, I was trying to sing that song earlier, but I'll stop now. Is that okay? Praise the Lord. I probably better stop. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Something's on my heart. Pastor John preached a wonderful message last night on conquerors. We're conquerors, more than conquerors. And just listening to it, how many of you go on the web and or how many of you get on there and listen to the sermons? I'm telling you, get on there and listen to them. They're good for you. They really are. And just listen. And Pastor John, do you listen to sermons? Oh, okay. I was gonna say maybe it's good to listen to yourself. Isn't that right? Sometimes you might say, "I didn't say that. I don't think I said that." But the Holy Spirit knows what to say, when to say it, and that's what I'm praying this morning. That everyone in the house today, I don't care who you are, that God's Holy Spirit is going to speak something very definite to you this morning. Especially about who you are in 2018, who you represent. How many know that we are representatives of the kingdom of God? How many know we are ambassadors here on the earth? Is that right? Hallelujah. So every one of you should be driving around in a limo with these flags in the corners of the limo. Man, ambassador of the kingdom of God. Everywhere you go, though, you might not see your limo, but I bet there's some angels holding a flag out there. There's a banner that you're under. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. His name is health. His name, hallelujah, is healing. His name, hallelujah, is provision. Hallelujah. That's who God is in your life. You are ambassadors. You represent this kingdom. Hallelujah. Well, I didn't even think about talking about those kind of things. But if you will, open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 20. We're going to start there. Glory to God. Is anybody in here a victim of identity theft? Has anybody? Anybody? No. Yes. Yeah. How many? I see two hands so far. Three, four, five. And it's funny. Isn't that something? Identity theft. There's people out there trying to get your money. Is that right? Trying to, using your name for whatever. And that's just the world we live in. So I'm going to just say this right now. I'm just going to start with this. I'm going to pray over you and your finances and all, and your identity. I'm going to pray over it right now. So if you would just bow your heads. And let me pray over this. Father, I thank you, Lord, that your word tells us, Father God, that you are our provider. You provide all our needs. Lord, you watch over us, Father. You watch over the stuff, Father God. So I would ask you this morning, angels of God, stop in the name of Jesus any type of identity theft for the children of God. And Lord, let them live in peace. Let peace be their ruler. Let the Prince of Peace, hallelujah, be their standard. Folks, you don't have to fear in this world today because God is watching over you. Father, place that in their hearts that you're watching over them. In the name of Jesus, if you agree, say amen with a hearty amen. Hallelujah. Say, yeah, Lord, I believe it. Glory to God. Title of this message is Stopping Identity Theft. Hallelujah. And let's read the Word of God here. Matthew 16, 13 through 20. Glory to God. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." And he said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also to you that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. What's he going to do upon this rock? He's going to build his church. How many know that God is building his church? It's his church. Nobody else's church. Amen? Come on. It's his church. And he will build his church. And it is on the rock of revelation of who Jesus is. And the things that the Word of God have been saying to the world all the time, God is revealing these things to him. He says, and the gates of what? Hell shall not prevail against it. How many know there's a hell? Do you know that? There's people out there that say there is no hell. I'm going to tell you something. There's a hell. The Word of God just said, I mean, didn't Jesus just say it? I don't think he would have said it if he didn't mean it. Amen? When he says it, he means it. And in my Bible, the words are in red. That means stop and look. Amen? Come on, red. And that's what he's doing. He's saying the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Is that good? That's good. Because what he's saying is that the gates of hell won't prevail against you. Anything you're doing. As long as God's called you to do it. I'm not going to give you a free, you know, hey, it's not just you can just go do anything. I'm going to tell you, you can't just go do anything. It's what revelation does for you. It reveals things to you. And you begin to walk after what God has called you into. And then the gates of hell cannot stand against you. Amen. Praise God. I have people telling me, hey, man, you know what? That church is never going to go. Prophesying to me. Saying things. Isn't it? Praise God. Amen. Shoot me now. It's okay. No. I won't receive those things. Because when God says, by revelation, these things will be, I will build my church. That's what he's going to build. It's not up to me to build a church. It's up to him and the Holy Spirit. How many of you know it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit. That's what the Word of God says. His Spirit's the ones that build the church. Not men, his Spirit. That's a neat thing. Hallelujah. And he says this, I will give to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. God has given us a key. Keys to the kingdom of heaven. And then he says, what you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. What you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. He has given us authority in the earth. Is that all right? Can I say that to you? This is what God has done for you. Through the death of his son Jesus and the blood that was spilled for you, he has given you authority in this earth. Hallelujah. Not authority just over your kids or over your pooch, but authority. You can speak to that drug addict down the road and in the name of Jesus, you can say, hey man, in the name of Jesus, I bind what's going on in his life. You don't even have to talk to him. All you got to do is just begin to speak those things because you have been given authority from God. Isn't that cool? Gates of hell shall not stand against it either. It's a cool thing. Hallelujah. But I want you to focus on this last verse here. Verse 20 says, then he charged his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. If there's anything that I know about Jesus, he knew what his purpose and his plan on the earth was. He knew why he was here. That's cool. And he told them, don't tell anybody who I am. That's cool. Why? Oh, people are going to find out. Is that right? He was the Christ. He was the Messiah that was coming to redeem the world. That's who he was. Beautiful. And he tells them that. You know what I like about Jesus? I like about his confidence in who he was and where he was standing. I really like that. And folks, I want to tell you this morning, that's what he's trying to give you this morning, give you confidence in where you're standing, in who you are, and what he's done for you. It doesn't matter what your mind thinks, it matters what the Word of God says about you, and you got to be confident in those things. Hallelujah. You got to be confident that God is on your side. He's for you and he's not against you. You got to be confident in that. Hallelujah. The more confident you get in that, The more confident that you get in, the more you'll see the authority working in your life, the more you'll see. It's because God has placed you there. He's placed you here. You weren't born in the 1800s. You were born in the 1900s, most of you, for a reason, for a time like today, to see the things that are going on today, to touch the world today, to be a voice and an ambassador for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. So be confident in who he is and what he's done. Let's look at his confidence a little bit more. Let's go to Matthew chapter 26, verses 62 through 68. Here Jesus has been arrested, been beat up by the Sanhedrin, and now they're going to take him to Pontius Pilate, and this is what's going on. And the high priest arose and said to him, "Answer thou nothing? What is it which these things witness against thee?" But Jesus held his peace, and the high priest answered and said to him, I adjure you by the living God, that you tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said unto him, "Thou hast said, nevertheless I say to you, hereafter you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his clothes, rent his clothes, saying, "He has spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of any witnesses? Behold, now you have heard his blasphemy. What think ye?" And they answered and said, "He is guilty of death." Then did they spit in his face and buffeted him, and others smote him with the palms of their hands, saying, "Prophesy to us, thou Christ. Who is he that smote thee?" Pretty rough time, and wouldn't you say? Yet Jesus is very confident in what he's doing and who he is. Because before they had brought witnesses before him and said, "You know what? He said he'd destroy the temple in 3 days, you know." But the witnesses couldn't get their story straight. Isn't that funny? But finally, the high priest says, "Man, all right, man, just tell us. Hey, are you the Messiah? Are you the Son?" And Jesus says, "You said it." Basically, he was saying, "Yeah, that's it, I am." Because he adjured him by the living God. Do you hear what he said? That high priest said, "I adjure you. I am placing you before the living. Who are you?" And Jesus says, "Yeah, that's who I am." And then they said, "Hey, you heard him. This is blasphemy. He's worthy of death." Confidence in who he was and what he's here to do. Hallelujah. Can I tell you, Jesus did not have any identity issues. He knew exactly who he was. And I just want to speak this to you this morning. I feel the Lord saying to you this morning, you really, really know who you are. Look at his word in a new way today, look at his word in a new way, saying, "Lord, speak to me, Lord. Who am I? Show me who I am in you." You watch what he does. Let's go to Timothy chapter 6, verses 12 through 13. Bible says here, it says, "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called." Do you know you're called to eternal life? Do you know that? That's what the Word of God says. You're called to it. When did it start? When did eternal life start in you? You know, the Bible says this, the wages of sin is death. Is that right? But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Can I ask you a question? When does eternal life start? When you die? When you go to heaven? No. Everybody say, nope. Eternal life begins when you accept Christ in your heart. Bam, you're in eternal life. That is why we can pray for the sick. That is why we can expect things to change. But you see, society has been so programmed to think in a certain way that even a Christian is not of value today. I'm going to tell you something. They need us. The world needs us. So Timothy says, fight the good fight of faith. Or Paul says this to Timothy, lay hold on eternal life whereunto thou art also called and has professed a good profession before many witnesses. What's your profession? What are you professing? Are you telling folks? Are you bold enough to say, hey, man, I'm a Christian? Yeah. And I believe I can pray for you and we can work this out. Praise God. He says, I give you a charge in the sight of God who quickens all things. And then he says this, before Pontius Pilate, who quickens all things, and before Jesus Christ, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. What's he talking about? Can I tell you that he's saying that Pontius Pilate saw something that probably amazed him. Jesus, who Pontius Pilate had said two or three times, I find no fault in him. Do you know that in the Old Testament, when they took a lamb to sacrifice it, before they sacrificed it, they had to split it open. And they had to open it up and look at it and make sure it didn't have any kind of blemishes of any sort so that it could be a good sacrifice. If it had blemishes or something broken, a broken bone or something, they would put it aside because they said, we cannot offer that to God. It has to be perfect. And isn't it funny how Pontius Pilate is almost like the high priest looking at Jesus, and he walks out and he tells him twice, I see no fault in him. The perfect Lamb of God. Hallelujah. I'm getting excited about it. I don't know about you guys, but I'm getting excited. Let me just say this. Let's look at Jesus before Pontius Pilate. John chapter 18, verses 20 through 40. I hope you're taking some of these down. The Word of God says, then led they Jesus from Caiaphas into the hall of judgment, and it was early. And they hid themselves, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled. It makes me laugh almost every time. They're afraid of being defiled when they had just done a kangaroo court on Jesus, a court that shouldn't have been done at night, a court that should have had good witnesses. And now they don't want to go into this judgment hall because they don't want to be defiled. Anyway, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, what accusation do you bring against this man? And they answered and said unto him, if he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up to you. Then said Pilate to them, take ye him and judge him according to your law. And the Jews therefore said unto him, it is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spoke, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered in the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said to him, are you the king of the Jews? Praise God. I love it. And Jesus answered him, sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Your own nation and chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now, my kingdom is not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, are you a king then? I like to stop right here and just say, well, are you a king then? Oh man, he's a king. Isn't that right? He is a king of kings and he's the Lord of lords. Are you a king then? And he says, and Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause I came into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. Pilate said unto him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, I find no fault at all. I find in him no fault at all. But you have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the king of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. Go to chapter 19. And Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, hail, king of the Jews. They smote him with their hands, And Pilate therefore went forth again and said to them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him. This was a Roman leader saying, there is nothing wrong in this man. Praise God. Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns, the purple robe, and Pilate said unto them, Behold the man. And when the chief priests therefore and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. Pilate said unto them, Take him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. Is that right? The word of God says, By two or three witnesses shall anything be established. And Pilate has said it three times now. Is that right? The Jews answered him, We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. Pilate hadn't heard this word yet. He hadn't heard the accusation. He hadn't heard what these Jews were really coming after him about. And when Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more, what, does the word of God say he was fearful? He was afraid. Something's going on here way beyond what who I am is what I know that's what's going on here. I don't find anything wrong with this guy. Yet these guys, they want him dead. What's going on? And went again to the judgment hall and said to Jesus, Pontius Pilate, Whence art thou? From where are you? Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate to him, Speakest not thou unto me? Knowest thou not that I have the power to crucify thee and the power to release you? Jesus answered, You could have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto you has the greater sin. And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar. Oh, man. Now they're placing this man, this leader, this Roman leader in a position. And when Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down on the judgment seat in a place that is called pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was on the preparation of the Passover and about the sixth hour, and he said to the Jews, Behold your king. But they cried out, Away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate said unto them, Shall I crucify your king? And the chief priests answered, We have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he him therefore to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. To me, when I look at and read this account, I have to think Pontius Pilate saw something he'd never seen in his life before, heard something he had never heard. Hallelujah. That's why Paul writes that to Timothy, and he tells him Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. I mean, Pilate saw something. He knows what I mean. I wonder sometimes, even with people that they know you're a Christian, they see things happening, they know who you are, and yet they deny who you are. It's okay. You just keep being who you are. Jesus went through all of that. Man, they were spitting on him, hitting him in the face, went through all of that, and yet maintained who he was. Is that right? He was strong in his identity. Very strong. And that same strength is what he's trying to deliver you today. Hallelujah. Let me show you just a little bit of an identity crisis that happened just around that time. And if you would put up John chapter 18, verses 28 through 40. I'm sorry. 18, 25, and 26. Here's an identity crisis right here, if you want to look at it. It says, And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself, and said, and they said unto him, you also one of his disciples? And he denied it, amen, and said, I am not. Then one of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter had cut off, said, didn't I see you in the garden with him? There's one place where a young lady tells him, hey, even your speech gives you away. You're one of them. And he denied him and denied him. And see, Peter was going through a little bit of an identity crisis. Is that right? But Jesus had told Peter before this. He says, before the rooster crows before the rooster crows, you will have denied me three times. He told him that. He said, but don't worry, Peter. I have prayed for you. And when you are converted, he says, strengthen your brothers. God, the Lord had actually prophesied to him that this is going to happen. Don't worry about it, though. It's okay. It's all right. I understand. You know that Jesus understood? You know what Jesus understands when we're not as powerful as we ought to be? When we have a little bit of identity crisis? How many have gone through an identity crisis? When you know you should say something and you go into an identity crisis, well, you know what? I'll just be quiet. I'll pray for them. Yeah, come on, man. Open your mouth and say something. Say, man, I am an ambassador of the kingdom of God. You can start with that. Yeah, and they might look at you kind of weird. Go, what? Yeah, I'm an ambassador from heaven, and that is not right. What you just got through saying, let them know. Is that all right? It's okay. Praise God, man. Hallelujah. No identity crisis anymore, man. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Peter went through it. It's okay. It's all right. If it happens, so it's okay. But I'll tell you something. You go through enough of those, you start saying, I ain't going through any more of those again. I'm not going to step into that puddle anymore. Something happens, I'm going to say something. Amen? Hallelujah. Being a grandfather, I get the chance to watch all this literary art on TV with my grandkids. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. You know, there's things like cartoons. Yeah, come on, man. I watch Cars. Yeah, you got, man, they got some good stuff, man. Aladdin. Praise God. My daughter really liked Beauty and the Beast. Must have watched it 300 million and a half times. That last time I said, I've had enough of that. Be our guest. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway. Let it go. Yeah, all right. It's got turn loose of that. How many of you watched The Incredibles? Anybody seen The Incredibles? Oh, yeah. I mean, you guys like The Incredibles? Anybody know anything about The Incredibles? Man, it's a really good, it's crazy. It's superheroes, cartoon superheroes. And The Incredibles, the dad is a super strong guy. He's got strength like crazy. Mom is Elastigirl. She can reach all the way from here to Annie and Gary over there and pull Annie's glasses off, man. Elastigirl. Pretty cool. Yeah, I like Elastigirl. Violet, the young daughter, her gift is to disappear. And she also creates force fields, which is cool. But you wish you could create a force field? Yeah, driving down the road, whoom, the car moves over, it's off to your head. Praise God. Yeah, hallelujah. Man, force fields, Dash. I like Dash. He's really cool. He's a little boy. His gift, he's a sonic runner. Man, just pew, takes off, gone. Sonic boom and everything, man. Just really cool, man. I like him. He's really... And then they have the baby, and I'm not sure what that baby is. Is anybody? It looks like a little demon once in a while. It turns into fire. It's kind of crazy, man. But they're all gifted. They all have gifts. But they're superheroes, and because of collateral damage that was happening out there, whenever they would fight all these the bad guys, they would bust buildings and all sorts of different things. So the government actually said, we don't want you doing that anymore. We want you guys shut down. So they went into hiding. They got into a program. A Sunday morning, I'm telling you about The Incredibles. It's cool. They went into a hiding and they're teaching their kids. They said, man, you cannot use your gifts do not use your gifts. Okay. The world doesn't want you to use your gifts. Does that sound like today? Yep. Come on, they don't want you to use those gifts. Keep them hidden. We want you to blend in like the rest of the world. Come on, man. Hallelujah. Problem is, the dad gets into trouble. He's one of these guys, man. He keeps looking in the old days. Remember when guys used to play basketball? You used to make, you were the high scorer for that team. You think, talk about your old days, good old days. No. Anyway, that's what he liked, the good old days of fighting crime. They would go out, him and his buddy, they'd go out and fight crime incognito, take people out of burning buildings and stuff. But he gets into trouble and he gets captured by a bad guy. And mom is trying to help. She doesn't realize that the kids have stowed away in an airplane that she's riding in, and they're hiding, and the plane goes to get blown up, and it's just a neat little story. But they end up on the island where their dad is being held captive. Am I getting it right so far? Yeah, so far. But what I want you to look, and we're going to watch just a little bit of a clip. Is that okay? You guys okay? I know we're going to shut all the lights off, and then we're going to watch just a little bit of a clip. This is where the mom is now telling them that they have to go ahead and take on their identity. Can I tell you, folks, we have to take on our identity. We have to be who we are in Christ. And I want you to note, there's going to be some things she's going to say, and I want you to just take note of some of those things, because they really are good things. Remember, it's a cartoon, and they're really not superheroes, but it might address some things in your life. So let's go ahead and watch that video. Praise God. Did you get anything out of that? There's a couple of things that I really like what she says. This is mom talking, and I took a few notes. That's okay. One of the things she said, your identity is your most valuable possession. Who you are in Christ is valuable to you. It really is. And it's important that you take a hold of that and grab it and pull it in and say, this is who I am. Doubt is a luxury we cannot afford. I don't know if doubt's a luxury to you, but it's not a luxury to me. It is something that I don't want to stand in. I don't want to be there. Sometimes we're in positions where we don't know what to do. How many of you know that? The best thing to do is trust God. Just trust God. No matter what's going on, no matter what's happening around you, place your trust in Him. Say, God, I know you know. I know you're watching. So, Lord, I know that whatever the outcome of this, it will strengthen me and build me. How many know that? Can I tell you that strength comes in ways that sometimes are very painful, but it will come to you. Strength, God will build you. Like I said before, the journey validates the arrival. Strength will be poured into you through the things that you go through. Another thing she said is this, you have more power than you realize. Can I just say that to you this morning? With Christ in your life, you have more power than you've ever even imagined. It's crazy how much He has given you. The gifts and the workings of God that's upon you. Man. She said, when the time comes, you'll know what to do. Is that right? Yeah, you will. You see, because God has given His Holy Spirit to help you and to strengthen you, to lead you and to guide you. That's why the Holy Spirit is here today. Do you know that? He is here to help you. I'm going to say that again. He's here to help you. Really, He really is. And if you just say, Lord, I just need some help, go to the Word of God. Allow the Word of God to speak to you in your time of need, and you watch what happens. You're going to feel strength that you hadn't thought of. Something will hit you different. Somebody will say something to you a little different, and strength will begin to rise up in you, because God has said that He will lead you and guide you and take you through everything that you're going through. It's cool, man. It really is. Hallelujah. The last thing she said, one of the things, it's in your blood. It's in your blood. And I want to just say this to you, it's in the blood of Christ. What He's done for you, it's there. It's all there. Everything that you need, it's already in you. Hallelujah. It's already there. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. Hallelujah. The Word of God says, and starting at verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given to us exceeding great precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. Hallelujah. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. God has already given you everything you need. It's already deep inside of you. The thing you need to do is access it. The thing that you need to do is get with the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, show me what You've got for me. Show me what You've got for me today. Every morning as you get up, you know, because the Word of God says, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day, today, our daily bread. So you can get up every day and say, Lord, show me what You have for me. And you watch what God, you when you begin to do that with God, begin to ask him, you watch how He begins to respond. He will respond to you because He says, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it will be opened to you. He wants to show you these things. You're His kid. You belong to Him. Hallelujah. Let me say amen. Amen. The world is trying to steal your identity. Do you know that? Do you know it? Do you know that the world, even yourself, the way you're thinking is robbing your identity? You need to think, hey, I'm a man of God, or I'm a woman of God. Hallelujah. God is not against me. He's for me. Continue to speak those things. The Word of God says, by His stripes, I've been healed. So any ailment that comes near you, consider it that you've already been healed, and speak to it. Say, I'm healed. I don't know what your bag is, but you're healed in the name of Jesus. Or maybe there's a friend of mine that needs a healing in his foot, and the Lord's just showing it to me. Has that ever happened to you? It's happened to me. Had a friend that, I got to work one day, I had this huge headache. Man. And a guy I was talking to, he walked away and didn't realize it. A little while later, I noticed, oh yeah, the headache's gone. Praise God. Headache's gone. I was up in the mill, walking around up there doing my checks, and a forklift drives by, and it was the same guy that was talking to me earlier, and all of a sudden I got a headache. Oh man, the same headache. He drove on by, and I moved on, and after a while, I go, man, what's going on with my head? I got a headache. A little while later, I was down in the shop, and I was getting some coffee, and he walks over and steps up to the candy machine, starts to get a candy bar, and I get this headache again. But I did notice, I saw him every time I had that headache. So I just asked him, hey man, you got a headache? I go, yo man, had it all day. I said, come here man. I prayed for him. I had no headache after that. Later on, he came and told me, man, hey, my headache went away. Good, man. That's the Lord, man. Tell God thanks. Don't tell me thanks. So sometimes even what you're feeling in your body is God saying something to you. If you take on the attitude that says, by His stripes, I've been healed. Take on that. That's your identity. Can I tell you that's an identity to you? Your body is healed. Don't let your body talk you out of that identity. Is that okay? Do you know your body will talk it out? Talk to you? Is that right? How many know your body talks to you? Every time you get a little pain, what do? Oh, that's appendix. No, that's too high for appendix. Appendix. Oh, Oh, appendix over here? No, they're over here. Yeah, and so you start diagnosing yourself. How many diagnose yourself? How many go to the internet and let the internet diagnose yourself? Come on, man. The word is, by his stripes, I've been healed. That's the word. Take a hold of it and grow in it. Grow in it. Hallelujah. That's your identity. Say that to your body. Hey, my identity is, by his stripes, I've been healed. That's me. That's me. Praise God. You know what? You'll feel good saying that. Even though it hurts, something might be hurting you. That's good. That's it. Isn't that right, Brother John? Brother John, come in to can I tell him? Huh? Sure. You want to tell him? No, okay. Brother John, come in. And he's looking at the carpets because, man, folks, this carpets haven't been cleaned in I don't know how long, but they've been kind of cleaned in the last month. And he come in to give us an estimate. And while he's giving me an estimate, he starts acting a little weird. Isn't that right? He's got real thirsty on me. Isn't that right? And he goes, man, something's going on here, man. Something's going on. Isn't that right? So, well, man. So our reaction is, let's pray. God, we're asking you that you would take care of whatever this is in the name of Jesus. Is that right? He's telling me this morning, he went in and got a checkup. Nothing wrong. Clean bill of health. Is that right? Is that right, brother? Come on, man. I tell you what, your identity is that the blood of Jesus, the stripes that he took on his back, healed you, period. Begin to those are your identity. These are your identities. Do you know your identity is to walk into the throne room of God because you are a son or a child or a daughter of God, to stand in his presence and say, God, I need something. Do you know that's part of your identity? Some of you have an identity you think you know, but then you don't really know. Is that right? You know what I'm talking about? Let me give you an example. The Lord told me, he says, hey, Henry, I'm going to take you out of this church and I'm going to send you to Tucson. I want you to go help David Swift. He's a pastor in Tucson. Okay. And so talking to my pastor, I was not getting a very good reaction from that. And he said, no. I said, Pastor, you need a full-time youth pastor, and I'm not your full-time youth pastor. You need one. And he said, no, I've got a youth pastor. You didn't hear me. And so I kept talking to him. And finally, the Lord gave me a date. And I believe it was June 31st, 2011. And he said, tell him that will be your last day here. I need you to help David. I said, okay. I said, all right, Lord. All I know is I want to do what God wants me to do. How many know that? So, I mean, the best thing to do is just, okay. So I went and talked with him, and he says, okay. I told him, this is what the Lord said. He goes, okay, that's good. We're gonna send you out. I said, good. So they had a party kind of, man, and a service, let me preach my last time at the church, man, which was real. I was honored. And left. Called up David Swift and told him, hey, David, the Lord has told me to come to your church. Awesome. You moving to San Diego? I go, no, he didn't say anything about San Diego. He says, because right now I'm on my way going to San Diego. I said, okay. And I said, well, that's strange. He told me to help you. He goes, well, I don't know what's going on, bro, but you're welcome to come. He says, I have accepted an associate pastor's job there, and Chantel, my wife, is working with the children. Cool, man. He said, you come in San Diego? No, I don't know. He hadn't said something to San Diego. He just told me to help him. I thought that was strange because the Lord said, I want you to help him. About a week later, he calls me up. He says, guess what, man? That day you called, I stopped to put gas in my truck in the U-Haul when I was heading to San Diego. And when I put the nozzle back on the gas pump, the Lord said, I didn't call you to San Diego. I called you to Tucson. He goes, why didn't you tell me before, Lord? Before I got all this way, all the way to Yuma. So they packed up, came back, reopened his church here in Tucson. And I served there for 2 years. having a good time, looking forward to retirement. You guys know what I'm talking about? I'm saying, man, all right, man, I'm just going to cruise now. This is, Rosie starts bugging me. Hey, I think we're called for something more. More than what, man? We're helping? We're helps in this church? No, we got to do something more. So we're doing a Bible study at the house. How's that? That's something more? She keeps telling me, no, there's something more. You know what? How many know it's good to have a good wife? Is that right? Yeah, because, you know, sometimes your wife will hear things before you do. Is that right? Come on, man. The wife seemed to have this on you know, because, you know, in the spirit there's intuition, communion, and conscience in your spirit. Your spirit that you have, intuition is a powerful tool. Conscience is a powerful tool in your spirit. And then there's a thing called communion. That's where you communicate with God. That's powerful to you. It's important you communicate with God. But intuition, the women seem to have that on the top of their list for some reason, because they really hear things. And, you know, so guys, let me just tell you, when they're talking to you, don't just play it off. Just say, okay, just think about it. And Rosie's telling me, I said, no. I'm looking forward to getting out of work, retiring at the mine, and I'll be good. I was at a funeral for my sister over here at her son's funeral. And I was talking to her brother, Rodney. And Rodney was asking me if I remembered Mr. Lugo, who was our career planner at the high school. I said, yeah. And I asked Rodney, I said, Rodney, what'd he tell you? And he said this, he goes, you know, Mr. Lugo said, man, I can either be an engineer or a CPA. I said, well, what are you doing? He says, well, I've been a CPA since I got out of college. I said, that's awesome, man. That's cool, man. And then he asked me, what did Mr. Lugo tell you, Henry? And I said, well, Mr. Lugo told me, he says, Henry, sit your tail in that, put a little bit more color, but sit your tail in that chair. And that right there just kind of made me mad. And then he goes, that car, that drinking, and them girls, you'll probably be a miner all your life. Because Bisbee was a mining town, underground mining town. And I got mad, and I got up, and I stood up, and I said, I am not going to be a miner. So Rodney asked me, he goes, so what have you been doing? I said, well, I've been a miner all my life. And so we laughed about it, and it was kind of funny. I worked at the mines here. The very next day I'm in church, and Pastor David Swift is preaching, and right in the middle of the sermon, he stops and he says, stand up. And we stand up. He says, Rosie, you and Henry, stand up. And he says, I don't understand this word. I don't get it. But this is what God is saying to you right now today. He says, you are not a miner. You are a pastor. And I cannot bless what you're pretending to be. You see, I was having an identity crisis. I didn't know who I was. You get that? I didn't know who it was, what God had called me into. The other day I was preaching in here and I said, you know, I didn't pray for this. I sure didn't pray for this. And on my way home, the Holy Spirit said to me, oh, yes, you did. You prayed in the Spirit. You didn't know you're praying for this, but you got it. Hallelujah. And I said, okay. And you know what? Yeah, and you know what? Just on a side note, that really strengthened me. Because I realize that when I pray that way, that I pray according to the will of God. So what God's going to do is he's going to begin to bring those things that he's wanting to do. Not that I'm wanting to do, but that he's wanting to do. And when you pray that way, just know that. That's why it's so important that you receive that gift. It's crazy. Just a side note. Praise God. Hallelujah. You see, I was having an identity crisis. I know who I am now. Not sure why, but I know what my calling is. He says, you're a pastor, and I cannot bless what you're pretending to be. I was pretending to be a miner. And some of you might be wondering today, oh, God, what is my identity? Would anybody in the house be wondering, God, really, really, show me, Lord, what is my identity? Show me that so that I can move into it. I don't want to waste any more time. How many of you know that we can waste our time doing everything like God was saying, I can't bless what you're pretending to be? I don't want to waste any more time. Lord, I want to move into what you have for me. Some of you are prophets. Some of you in here, hallelujah, are teachers. Some of you, most of you, hallelujah, are called to, all of you are called to speak to the lost, every one of you. So get ready. Get ready. Be strong in what God has called you to do. Find your identity in Christ. Ask him about it. God, what's my identity? Would you stand? Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Your identity is the most valuable possession you have. Hallelujah. Protect it. Amen. Father, I thank you this morning. I thank you for the word of God. God, I'm asking you, Lord, that you would touch, Father God, each and every person here today. And Lord, that you would begin, Lord, to open by however, Lord. But I'm going to ask for dreams. God, I'm going to ask that you'd give them dreams. God, I'm going to ask that you show them visions. Father, I'm going to ask, Lord, that you would speak audibly to your children, Lord. The identity of what you have called them into, Father. I thank you for it. I praise you for it, Lord. Touch your people, Lord, this morning, today, in the name of Jesus, I ask. And if you guys agree, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Shake one another's hands. Thank you for coming this morning. Appreciate each and every one of you. I love you guys. Praise God.